You're listening to the Fueled and Free podcast. I'm your host, Margaret, a holistic nutritionist, bringing you real talk and thought-provoking conversations on food, the wellness world, women's health topics, and life. Remember, the information shared in this podcast is not to be taken as individual or medical advice. I'm very excited to introduce today's guest, Lori Ward. She's an esthetician, an integrative health practitioner, and specializes in acne. If you've ever struggled with acne or skin issues and you felt confused on how to clear your skin without harsh medications like Accutane or harsh topicals, you need to listen to this episode. Lori is a wealth of knowledge. She shares with us the underlying factors that contribute to acne. We dive in on topics like gut health, liver support, your lymphatic system. Lori believes that acne is not just a superficial issue, but a symptom of deeper imbalances in the body. She's an advocate for a more holistic approach to healing that addresses the root cause of acne and supports overall wellness and gives us some practical wisdom on what that actually looks like. This episode is not just on acne, by the way. She shares her thoughts on things like chemical peels, gua sha, oil cleansing, skincare routines, and we have a candid conversation on Botox and filler and finding balance as women who do enjoy aesthetic enhancements but want to stay true to a holistic mindset. It's a fun conversation. Lori is a trip. I loved having her on the podcast, and I hope you enjoy. First of all, thank you for being here. I'm super excited to chat with you on all things acne, skincare, holistic health. You're very inspiring to me, as you know, you're a mom and a business owner, and you have a couple years on me, have older kids. I love how you show up for your health, both physical and mental. Very inspiring to me. So one of the things I wanted to get started with is I'd like to know, like, how did you get into the niche of acne and skincare?
Oh, yeah, it is an interesting story. And you know, I've always been interested in health. Always. I've always been a mover. I knew that I felt good exercising. I felt good when I ate healthy. And I just carried that with me through my teens and through raising my kids. And then I have four children. And the first three, I put on Accutane because I didn't know what else to do. Yep. You know, this is like ages ago. This is less than 20 years ago, so it's been a little while. But back then, there wasn't any social media. There really wasn't the internet that you could go researching how to clear my acne or what can I do. Like, the internet was new. YouTube was new. I don't even know if Instagram was around then. So we didn't know what else to do, and I just put my first three on Accutane. My kids are close in age, and they all started breaking out about the same time. So we went through the antibiotics, we went through all the creams, and we just slowly progressed into Accutane, and it never did take it away. It just kept coming back. And I really wasn't aware of the side effects. It just was like, you know what? My kid just wants a pill. They just want it to go away. Let's just give it to them. Right. And then through the years, my kids start graduating, and Riley, my daughter at the time, she graduated from high school and she wanted to go into aesthetics. And I thought, oh, that sounds kind of fun, because yeah. I love skin, right? I was getting older and I was interested in how to take better care of my skin. And my husband says, well, Lori, why don't you just go with her to school? And that was the first time somebody had ever like planted that thought in my head that I could actually do it. Like, I could actually go. And yeah. I still had Kyler at home. And I think that he was seven at the time, I think seven or eight. And so I made arrangements for him after school. And I went to aesthetic school with my daughter and graduated. And let's see, we graduated January of 2017. And I just thought, you know, here is a chance to really figure out acne. Like, what is really going on? And I just started, kind of like every esthetician, getting into skincare, trying to understand topicals. And I was starting to grow my business. And it was growing pretty quick at the time. And I found that there were certain clients that I just couldn't clear. Some, all they need is topicals. boom, they're great. They're perfect. But there's a large percentage that actually take more than just skincare. And I really cared about my clients. I really wanted to know, like, what else is happening? And the first book that I got my hands on, it was by Dr. Whitney Bowe. I always want to give her credit. She's amazing on Instagram. She's a dermatologist. She's like famous now, and she's come out with her own skincare line. But she came out with this book called Dirty Skin. And I was like, she's talking about gut health. She's talking about probiotics. What is this? And it just started a love affair with taking more courses, reading more books, listening to podcasts on gut health. And all of a sudden, there's this liver thing that people are talking about. And the lymphatic system and digestion and weight, sleep is all tied into this. And it just was this love affair of learning, taking more advanced courses, learning, finding other people like you on Instagram, that even though your main drive isn't acne per se, the way to heal acne is very much the same as healing somebody with other ailments that they're struggling with. It's just that acne, and this is what like we really want to talk about, acne manifests itself on the outside of the skin. It's an inflammatory response. PCOS, endometriosis, it's all inside and you can't see it. And it seems so unfair that acne is on the outside, but yet it's a blessing because our body is talking to us. Yes. And it's saying, I'm imbalanced. Something isn't right. Please help me. And our first thing is, like our first response is, call the dermatologist, give me a pill. Right. It's
right.
Because we don't know what else to do, but people are getting smarter. They're like, I don't feel good about Accutane. I don't feel good about putting my child on birth control.
Yes.
Like, I've been through all of this. We did the birth control. We did all the things. And it just was a Band-Aid. It's like telling your body to shut up. It's gaslighting your own body's symptoms and signs that absolutely something is off. You're like, no, I'm okay. I'm just going to take this. I'm just going to take a pill. I'm going to do that. And if that's the route that you want to go, there is no judgment at all, because I work with people who are on Accutane, who are getting off Accutane, or who don't want to go on Accutane. And they're also trying to decide, is birth control the right option?
Right.
So I work with all different types of people, ladies that are trying to get off birth control or like really supporting their body while they're on birth control. So there's no judgment at all. I never want anybody to feel bad.
Yeah. Because there is such a mental and emotional aspect with skin stuff. I navigated a lot of acne after having my son. So had acne in high school, but I went on birth control at like 16 years old. So I had like flawless skin for probably a decade and then started having kids. And after Turner was born, my skin went crazy for probably 2-3 years in my early 30s. You know, I was like 30, 31 years old and had horrific acne on like the lower half of my jawline, neck, jawline mostly. And I still have flare-ups from time to time. I had a cyst last week underneath my skin that is still recovering just out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows why it showed up, but it's still, my skin's significantly better than it used to be. And I remember in my own skin journey being like, I would rather have to lose 20 pounds than have to deal with this skin stuff, right? Or, right, you know, wanting to just like trade your symptom for something else, because you can't really hide acne that well. You can put some makeup on, but when you're dealing with cystic acne and it's sore and it's painful and it's scarring, I mean, I remember my youngest and my daughter, both of my kids, like touching my skin and being like, Mom, why do you have all these bumps all over your face? So there's a huge emotional component to it. I'm curious, as a practitioner, where you're doing not only the aesthetic side, but also working on internal, how do you help them decide on, okay, let's try some natural things versus the Accutane route?
Most people that hear about me or find me know what my niche is, and that is on the holistic side.
Yeah.
And I attract naturally those people who want another option. Like just the other day, I had a mom call me who was right in the middle of her husband and her daughter. The daughter wanted a quick fix. She wanted to go on Accutane. She was crying to go on Accutane. And the husband, her dad, felt bad for his daughter and was like, yeah, let's just get in there. Let's just get her on Accutane, just something fast, because he could see that she was just melting emotionally. But the mom said, I don't feel good about it. Something about this doesn't feel right. And so a lot of times the parents are on board for a holistic route, but the kids are not. And yes. I understand that. They're torn by their looks. They feel terrible. They're very self-conscious, even when people don't even care.
Right.
People don't even care, but we think that they do, right? And so after talking with the mom, I was able to make her feel better about really sticking with that choice. The daughter kind of got excited because I told her, listen, and this is coming to back to your question. I said, while we're working on your gut health, and although gut health is going to take longer, it can take up to a year or even longer for some people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other inflammation. I said, what we can do is we'll get you started on good gut health. In the meantime, let's get you on some really good skincare, because the skincare aspect, we don't focus only on that. It is a huge part of getting clear, because it gives them that low-hanging fruit that's easy to pick. All they have to do is, like, we get them on the right skincare system for them. And then they just use it every morning and night. And I write out very specific instructions on how to do it. And that is their low-hanging fruit. That gives them results pretty quick.
Yes.
It starts to clear up the redness. It gives them hope. It gets them excited. And then they start to focus less on their skin, because there isn't as much inflammation. So skincare is a big part of it. Very much
absolutely.
So. And
absolutely.
So they have to work together. And because the journey to gut health and detoxing your liver, that takes a little bit more time mm-hmm. and a little bit more work. And those are also lifestyle skills that you're stacking, like better health, getting more hydration, all those things that just take work.
Yep. So when someone comes into your practice, and I know you do virtual consults too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when someone comes in, are you building out like a multi-month long plan, or are you kind of like, all right, this is what we're going to work on first? And then, what does that process look like?
So what that looks like is a very detailed consult. It usually takes, depending on what other things they're working on, because a lot of times we'll do a hair scan mm-hmm. with a consult. And so we do a very detailed consult about their lifestyle. Are they eating enough? Like you're a huge proponent on that. Like, are you getting enough protein? Like, I got to make sure that I understand what's going on. And then I am more able to create a wellness plan for them. And for some, there's just a few steps that they need to work on. And some have longer amounts of work that they need to do. So I send them a detailed email with helpful links for like electrolytes, how to lower their blood sugar, how to manage their blood sugar spikes.
Blood sugar and acne is huge. It's huge.
No one
talks about it. In fact, looking back, that was probably my skin was the worst when I was doing intermittent fasting. I was doing HIIT workouts at the gym, like three mornings a week, and then black coffee for breakfast, baby. I'm like no wonder.
The worst things that you could do for your adrenal system and all the things and your skin. Just so hard. Yeah. And the blood sugar issue is very hard for people to understand. Like, why should I care about this?
Right. I'm not overweight. I'm not diabetic. Yep.
I'm fine. That's always a classic. I'm fine. But their body is telling them otherwise. So we just keep it really simple. I write down in their email, focus on eating your vegetables first, then your protein and fats, then your carbs and your fruits, and you'll be okay. You don't have to wear a glucose monitor like I did. It definitely helps, but you don't have to do that. You can eat this way. And it does take a little bit of practice, but it's so worth it.
Absolutely.
So worth it. Absolutely. But yeah, all the things like supporting your body and how that looks is just checking in with each other about once a month. Kind of depends on the person. Checking in regularly, I find that they have the most success. And I love it when I have clients that are local that can actually come into the clinic because I see them every 2 weeks. We're doing skin treatments. And then I'm also telling them, okay, well, how was your water? Like, were you able to consume a lot of or enough water in the last 2 weeks since I've seen you? So that's really fun to check in and then give them another healthy tip that they can work on for the next 2 weeks because Everyone is so different. And like, if you were to give me a checklist of 100 things, I would do them every single day. I would just do it. But some people, they can only do maybe one thing, one new thing every 2 or 3 weeks because they just can't handle that stress. So everyone is so unique and it's really fun to work with all different kinds of people. It's just, absolutely. It's so rewarding. I just love it.
It is rewarding because you really get to see a physical transformation with the line of work that you do, which is really, really exciting.
I get before and afters. Like, yes. I don't know how you could get it before and after unless their body composition changes and they say, hey, Margaret, look at this. You know, or you've got your hair tissue and mineral analysis test that is a great before and after.
Yes, to see how minerals change.
Yeah.
Do you incorporate stool testing? How are you helping people with assessing their gut? What does that look like?
So with their gut, first of all, I make sure that they're pooping.
Oh, yes.
And you understand how rare this is to find people that are having 1 to 3 bowel movements a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like people think, and I used to think this because I was in this population of, oh, it's all right. I'm only pooping 2 times a week, but I've got lots of stomach aches and I feel really gross and sluggish all the time.
Yes.
So we get into the gut health part. Are you having regular bowel movements? Are you drinking enough water? Are you adding electrolytes? You know, what do your meals look like? Do you have stomach aches? Are you gassy? Oh, and another one that I know you would appreciate is, are you having regular periods and are they healthy periods? Are they painful? Mm-hmm. Are they painless? Because that is a huge vital sign of what else is going on inside. So I want to make sure they've got this checklist of, yes, I am pooping. And if they are pooping, then I want to make sure that they are detoxing. And normally if they're coming to me for their skin, it's usually a no-brainer that they've got a congested liver and our job is to open up those pathways,
right?
Which I know that you talk about, and it's such an important priority when you are wanting to get healthy and live healthy and feel good. You got to make sure that you focus on good kidney and liver health.
Absolutely.
Is gallbladder working? Like, do we need to be doing enemas? Do we need to be doing castor oil packs? Do we need to be adding ion gut support to your water, like all these things. And they're very surprised that we're going deeper because all they see is the exterior, but the inside, our gut is a reflection
of what's happening.
It's very mirrored. And, so by the time they come to me, I pretty much tell them your liver is more than likely very congested. Let's work on opening that up. And so a lot of times we will do CellCore phase 1, which is really great for opening up those drainage pathways, supports their body with energy, because we're asking their body to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot. You know, it can take 30 or 60 days.
So how do people respond when you bring up the conversation about like castor oil packs or even coffee enemas? Because I found the castor oil pack conversation and then coffee enemas, both of those things, some people are like, wait, what? You want me to do what over my liver?
Right?
You want me to put what up my butt?
It's very next level.
Yeah.
And some women are like, oh, absolutely not. I will not do a castor oil pack. And I said, well, always keep that in mind that it is an option for you. It would definitely help you to feel better. And so people are more willing to do castor oil packs, but we always think that it has to be harder than it really is. It's like, can these basic things really make a difference? Because I want it to be harder. And so it's convincing them gently that getting back to the basics doesn't have to be hard. It's very simple, but yet it's hard for people, right? It's hard to go back to the basics. But even just drinking more water, doing the enemas, if there's a lot of resistance, we just find other ways. We find ways like a cell core or focusing really on their food or supplements or other ways, usually getting more sleep, doing less exercise.
Yes.
Fueling their bodies.
Yes.
All those things really make a difference. And they were coming in for skin and they walk out going, wow, I'm going to have to really change my life.
Yep. Yeah. You're really taking a very integrative approach, which is awesome. Yes, it really is.
And you know what I'm noticing is on my Instagram account, I'm attracting more estheticians than I am with acne clients, because estheticians are very curious at what I do and how I do it, because this is not what you learn in school.
No. I have a local esthetician that just recently started recommending supplements to people, which I thought was really interesting. I was there to like refill some skincare and I was checking out and I heard her having a conversation to another patient of hers. And she asked, what supplements are you on? And she recommended an oyster supplement. And I was like, I love this. You guys are recommending desiccated oysters to your clients. But she's like, yeah, it's really high in zinc. It's really high in copper. Good. So it is starting to catch on.
Yes.
But I feel like even 3 years ago, I went through a round of doing lots of chemical peels on my face. And actually, I wanted to ask you about that, about the topical side.
Sure.
So I was seeing this esthetician and she put me on a medical grade skincare line. And at the time, you know, I was trying to go the holistic route. I was getting into functional labs. I was changing out my diet, changing some of my lifestyle stuff. But I was just like at the end of my rope, like, all right, medical grade skincare, chemical peels, sign me up. I don't even care. Right. And some of the stuff that she did put me on helped because I had a lot of fungal acne. Mm-hmm. And it did help. Obviously, when I started to wean off of it, some of my acne came back. But I was going there and doing topical chemical peels like every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And my skin barrier was completely raw, like super dry, very irritated. And I remember asking her about supplements and diet. I just wanted to pick her brain, even though I kind of already knew the answer. I was like, what do you think about cutting certain foods and elimination diets and food sensitivity? And there was no knowledge or understanding of how those things affect skin. She was very just like, this is what we do topically. And that's it.
Right.
Which I found later on to be not necessarily true at all. What are your thoughts on chemical peels?
I think that there is a place for them, most definitely.
Okay.
There is a place for chemical peels. However, I am changing my own perception on them. It used to be just like you experienced, get them in, get it on, hit the skin hard, just get in, no matter what the cost, no matter how much they peel or how much they blister. But now I'm starting to think that that may not be so necessary. And if we need to do that, use it sparingly. And the reason why I have really come around to this concept of using these chemicals sparingly is because they are very concentrated chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrated alpha hydroxy acids, concentrated salicylic, glycolic, mandelic, and where these things may not necessarily be bad, it is increasing the toxic load on the body.
Yes.
It has to. Yep. It's going through your skin. And so my approach now is to be more gentle with the skin. And I took a really great course from Rachel Pontillo. It was the first like nutritional skin course I took. It was Certified Nutritional Aesthetics Practitioner course. It's kind of a long name. But she talked about being gentle on the skin and restoring the skin and repairing the skin lovingly. And I just thought, oh, that's like not how, I'm not familiar with this. Tell me more. And so their concept is less is better. less is better.
Okay.
And so I have been having clients, instead of coming in every 2 weeks to do a peel, maybe every 4 weeks, just like being more gentle, less layers of peels. But to answer your question, I'm slowing down on that because it does increase the toxic load on the body. There is no doubt in my mind that it goes straight into the liver and it adds to that rain barrel effect of
absolutely
it's too much.
Yep. Which has downstream effects on hormones and your skin. Again, everything.
Absolutely. And digestion. Is it counterintuitive? So it's just kind of reassessing and it's okay if you've been trained one way and then a couple years down the road go, I don't know if this is really working for me. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to expand your scope of practice, take more classes, take more courses that are outside of the skincare industry, which is what I would really recommend to any estheticians that are listening, because I'm going to share this on my Instagram too. And there's a whole bunch. Get more training, because as estheticians, we are not nutritionists. We are not qualified or trained to give out nutritional information,
right?
You know, specifics. And so we need to get more training and take more classes so that we can feel more confident in saying, hey, maybe we should try more cruciferous vegetables and beets and like really working on your liver instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel confident as an esthetician that you could help your client, not only with your skin, but with their gut too.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. Your client is worth it.
And absolutely.
They want that. They want it.
They do want it. They don't want to have to go to lots of different practitioners for different things.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's awesome what you're doing. Going back to the conversation on topicals and the skincare aspect, what are your thoughts on skipping cleansing your face in the morning? So I've seen this on some different skincare accounts where they're saying if your skin barrier needs more repair, or if you're dealing with really sensitive skin or acne, that maybe you're over cleansing by washing your face in the morning and at night. What do you think of that?
There can be truth to that.
Okay.
Because I'm starting to think of all the different nuances.
I know.
I'm like, it would work for this person, not for that person. This. Like my mind goes all over the place. It's very individual.
Okay.
So if I'm dealing with someone that has a very impaired skin barrier, meaning dry, water burns, all this kind of stuff, you bet we're going to be careful with how many times we use a cleanser. And then what kind of a cleanser is it?
Yes.
Because if it's the right cleanser, it's not burning their skin.
Right. Gentle.
So it has to be gentle. There's a lot of great skincare lines that are very gentle that are going to build the skin barrier instead of strip it. So it really does. It depends, Margaret.
Okay.
It depends. But really, when people get down to little, like the nitty gritties on that, sometimes it's like, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Honestly. Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. And I know that it gets likes and I know that it gets a lot of attention in the skincare world when people start driving in on this, but it's like, does it really matter?
Yeah. Cause you hear these recommendations. You're like, oh, maybe I am over cleansing my skin. Right. Or TikTok.
And a lot of people are.
Yes.
A lot of people are.
Absolutely. I go on TikTok and some of the skincare routines that some of these girls are showing, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I like get all in my head and I'm like,
right.
These like 10 step skincare routines that look insane, which I personally, my skincare routine's like 3 steps, probably, you know, maybe what? 4.
Margaret, it's just not necessary.
Yeah. Would you agree that?
I would agree. It's not necessary to do 10 steps unless that is your way of pampering yourself and you're doing it for you and you do it because you might like all this, the smells in your skincare, which is bad for you.
Yeah.
I like the sense and the way that it makes you feel. And if that is you, then do it.
Yeah.
If that is only time that you get for your self-care, do it. Is it necessary? No. And I think that it creates a lot of confusion.
Yes.
As to, geez, do I need to be doing that? It's expensive. And I don't think that it's necessary. And so I really back you up on that. Like, a good cleanser, a good moisturizer, use sunscreen. when you need it.
Use a toner.
Yeah. Like my skincare system, it's really simple.
What is it?
Access to everything.
You do.
I use my mango cleanser at night.
Okay.
And then I use my hydrating oil.
That's it. I love it.
If I'm wearing makeup, I will use micellar water to remove my makeup.
Yes, I love that.
And that's it. Now, I'm going to be hitting 50. My skincare needs are different than other people's. If you have skin conditions, your skincare routine is going to look very different than mine.
Right.
So everyone is going to be coming in at different angles and different points. But I just find that I'm a minimalist at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Very minimalistic, very basic, very simple. And it works for me.
What do you think of oil cleansing?
Oh, I love it.
What about for acne prone skin though?
It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the thing. It's fine.
I will admit I have been scared to jump into like the rose hip or the jojoba. So I want to really get back into gua sha. I was doing it for a while with just I use the Face Reality skincare line.
Yep.
So I use the, the Hydra Balance gel.
Uh-huh.
So I use that when I gua sha.
Good.
But I'm like, maybe I should add in a little bit of oil at the end for gua sha, but I'm terrified it's going to break me out.
And Margaret, most people are so scared.
I know, because I've been there.
And it is, sadly, that's I wouldn't say culture. I think that's perhaps the industry stereotype that used to be around maybe 10 years ago is, oh, if you use oil, it's going to make you break out. And I even follow a naturopath who helps people with their acne, who recommends not using oils. And I'm like, what are you? Because her theory is that they do make you break out. I'm like, I beg to differ. No, especially rose hip, sea buckthorn, jojoba. Oh, there's so many good oils out there. Like my hydrating oil. I will send you some so that you can try it. No pressure.
Thank you.
It has those four ingredients in it, and it is very hydrating. It's very healing. It's great for acne. It's great for someone who doesn't have acne. Your skin is made up of oil and water, and skin needs oil. And it's not going to break you out. And I've had people message me, is this going to break me out? No. Well, I broke out when I started using it. Are you sure it's just the oil?
Yeah,
because there's something else that's going on. Did you eat something? Like, what's going on in your life? And so sometimes we can't just blame the oil.
Right.
There's other things too. And so if there's anyone that's listening that's afraid to use oil, it's validated. That's validated because sadly our industry has scared people into thinking that it's going to make them break out. But
yes, absolutely. Yeah, I avoided moisturizers and oils on my skin for a while.
Yeah. And I remember, maybe you don't remember this, but I grew up in the era of the non-fat, low-fat era. This was 80s and 90s. And people were afraid to eat fat because it would make them fat.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got people that are afraid to actually apply oils on their skin because they're worried that it's going to make them break out. It's not the case.
Okay. I love that I asked that because I feel like I just got so much clarity. It is.
Yeah.
It is a really hot topic. Absolutely. So what are your thoughts on striking a balance with the fact that you are super holistically minded, right? I watch what you do on your Instagram stories with the different cleanses that you'll try. I know that you're into cold exposure now. Yeah. You know, you're doing a lot of things to support your health and progress your health, but you're also in an industry that's very aesthetic focused. You and I have talked one-on-one back and forth about filler and Botox. I'll admit here publicly on my podcast, I've had my lips done now.
Same.
And Lori helped talk me through it. I think I like boldly messaged you and I was like, Lori, are your lips done?
And I was like, yes.
I was like, yes. I'm going to get my lips done, but I'm super scared. I, prior to getting lip injections, had like the tiniest top lip ever. I still don't have full lips. I have two syringes in my lips right now.
They're beautiful.
Thank you. But
I'll admit I had this like internal wrestling of this because I'm also like in this holistic, natural minded world. And, you know, I get lip filler and I've had Botox before and I color my hair. You color your hair, right? It's like, how do you strike a balance with this? What does this look like for you?
Oh, that is such a good question.
And also as a mother of daughters, like I have a 9-year-old daughter and I'm like, she walked in on me doing self-tanner the other day. Why are you buffing your body with self-tanner, mom? What are you doing? You know?
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reality of it is nobody is perfect. And if they portray perfection on Instagram, they are lying.
Oh, it's so true.
There's so much lies out there. How I strike balance is I look at what is important to me mm-hmm. and what I know is healthy and what is not. I cut out the things that are not healthy, such as I cut out gluten and I cut out junk food and soda,
right.
caffeine for me. I cut that stuff out. However, I've kept gel nails. Mm-hmm. I kept my hot pink hair. I let my eyelash extensions go. I still keep the Botox and lip filler. However, what I have done is I don't do it as much.
So you space it out. Yeah.
I do. I space it out to maybe twice a year for Botox.
Yep.
And my lips, I only have to have them touched up maybe every 2 years because I understand that Botox and fillers are toxic. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to get around it. And I partake of it because it makes me look good on the outside, to look good to me.
Right.
And that's important to me. I have tried to lower my toxic load by cutting out all these other little things, foods. I look for additives. I look for ingredients. Like I'm always checking the oils.
Yeah.
I check everything. And I know going into this that my gel nails are not healthy for me, but I choose that.
Right.
And I'm open and I'm upfront with that. And when people ask me, in fact, I just had a lady the other day ask me my opinion on Botox and fillers. I have an amazing injector. She is a nurse anesthetist. She's like one of the top 100 injectors in the US.
That's awesome.
She is so good and I love her and I support her business and everything that she does. But I just chose for myself to do less. Mm-hmm. And if I used to get injections right around the outside of my eyes because I squint and when I smile, you can't see my eyes. And I used to be really self-conscious of that. And as of late, I've just decided nobody cares.
Yeah. I know you can really go down the rabbit hole with the fillers and the Botox.
I've had them in my nose and so I stopped squinting and I've done it down here and I filled in my jaw but I've decided what's most important is just right between my eyes because I have bangs and people can't see my wrinkles on my forehead. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm at that place where I'm just like, F it.
Yeah.
You know, so that line of the aesthetic industry and health industry, you know, it's, can be very polarizing because, if you profess to be holistic, well, then you shouldn't be doing all these other things.
Right.
But that's why I feel it's very important to be upfront with my community and showing them, yeah, I'm real. I still do Botox just like you do, you know, or like I may partake of Botox twice a year, but not caffeine or alcohol.
Yes. That's such a good point.
Pick your poison because everyone has it.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic industry, there's a lot of pressure. When you see an esthetician on Instagram or social media, they're usually knockout gorgeous because they feel the pressure and they have to partake of all the fillers and everything. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you can go extreme in each different way. You know, you can go extreme in aesthetics, you can go as extreme in holistic wellness, but I just try to find a balance.
Yes, it is so much about finding balance. Yes. I saw an account the other day that was telling women not to wash their vaginas with soap because that's bad for their microbiome. And I'm like, what? Now we're on here telling women they shouldn't use soap.
Don't wash your coochie when they're going to smell no matter what.
I was just like, oh my gosh, like just sometimes the holistic world, it just gets so, yeah, very black and white, very intense. And I think you make a good point too, where it's like, okay, we're over here filtering our water and I've swapped out my cookware. We don't use plastic. Our next house probably will not have a microwave. I'm cleaning the house with vinegar. We have no more candles, as non-toxic as I can get, right?
Yes.
And then when I made the decision to get that the filler, I had a good conversation with my sister about it. My sister and I dialogue about a lot of different things. She's like, you know, my BFF. And she said, like, what are your Instagram followers going to think if they see that you had filler on your lip or whatever? And I'm like, you know what? I think I just am at the point that I'm like, if someone wants to unfollow me or think I'm being disingenuous because I'm doing that, like, to me, toxins are toxins, right? There are people out there that are anti-coloring their hair, don't get their nails done, don't da 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 da, but then they're drinking their daily glass of wine 5 nights a week, right?
Right.
Or they're drinking tons of coffee, or not that drinking tons of coffee could be equated to like getting Botox, but I do think you're right. It is about really striking a balance on things and not living in the black and white and being so polarizing about things or so intense, because that's stressful too, of just constantly fearing like, oh, is this safe for me? Or is this bad for me? I don't know. And I said to my sister, I was like, you know what? We're all going to die someday. At least I'll have nice lips.
That's right. And I think another big part of this is when we're honest and we're sharing what we're trying to do and we're doing our best, it allows those who are watching to also feel okay with where they're at. I share what I'm doing and I am authentic. What I share on my social media and with my clients, everything that I'm telling them to do, I am doing it too, because I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And I'm honest. I say, yes, I do filler. I do Botox. I do these other things, but I'm trying to do better in these other areas, and just giving ourselves permission to just be human. And there's no such thing as being perfect. Mm-hmm. And I liked what you said about the polarization, black or white. It's very, just causes a lot of fights. And I think that you and I are in that place in life where it just doesn't matter anymore, because what works for me may not work for you.
Yeah.
And I don't have to force you to do what I'm doing. I'm looking at taking my implants out. I really want my implants out. And I've shared my journey with that I would love to have them out.
Yeah.
But
that's a hard decision. It is. I have a few clients right now that are navigating that decision. Yeah.
And I don't notice any symptoms. I don't notice things.
Same.
But I know they're not good for me.
Yep.
And I'm okay with having no boobs. I think it's actually trending to be very small. Mm-hmm. And yet it's just being okay with that myself and being okay with that with my spouse and going back to being small. But yeah, it's just no one's perfect. And
yeah,
the way I live my life doesn't mean you have to live that too.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. So did you grow up in a family that was very health-minded? Were your parents, you know, into cleaner eating and wellness? And I know you're super physically active too. Like, I see you on Instagram in the gym first thing in the morning, which is, you said you're going to be 50.
Yeah, I'm going to be 50.
That's so inspiring. Yes. I feel like that's not the norm. I feel like when women hit their 40s, it's just, I'm generalizing here.
Sooner than that.
Yeah, it's sooner than that. I'm definitely generalizing, and I don't want to make blanket sweeping statements at all, because I know there are plenty of women that are out there really showing up for their weightlifting and their routines. But I'd say the average is probably not. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. And also, the older I get and the longer I stay fit, the wider the gap is between me and my peers, the contrast is dramatic.
What do you see as a difference?
I see women my age who cannot move. They're not mobile.
Yes.
Like their mobility really stinks. They are losing strength. They say, you know, I woke up and I put on 10 pounds. All of a sudden, they're noticing weight gain around their stomach, mm-hmm. around their thighs, because we're also going through perimenopause.
Oh, it's so fun.
It just sucks. And yeah. But it's fun. But you've got all these things that are coming at you, and you better be proactive in the best way that you can. And I'm always a huge advocate for women and strength training.
Yes, yeah, say it.
Strength training.
Hit those weights.
Is going to literally save your life.
Yes.
And the other day, I had all my family here. I had my 5 grandkids. They range from ages 8 months to 3 years old. They're constantly running around. You're picking up kids. You're picking up babies. You're holding them for long amounts of times in your arms. And my girl said, Mom, it's okay. You don't have to hold her. You know, I know that she's heavy and that's going to make your arms tired. And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice my arms aren't tired. I am not tired when I pick up babies. I'm not tired holding them for long amounts of time. I can get on the floor.
Yeah.
And roll around with my kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
And something that's important in my training, and I haven't really shared this, but I think I should in my social media, is when I'm done with weight training, our gym just did this big expansion and they put in turf. And so now when I'm done with my training, I just roll around on the turf like a kid.
I love that. That's so good for mobility.
So good. Like I roll backwards, forwards, do handstands, try to walk on my hands. Just do all different types of roles because you need to do that. And so the difference that I see is I'm the one in the swimming pool with my kids, but the other moms aren't. They're sitting on the sidelines and I never wanted to be that way. I wanted to be involved and active with my kids. I want to be ready the minute that my kids are. Oh, Mom, you want to go do this? Yep, I'll be right there.
I love that. That's so spot on.
I want to be on the paddle board. I want to be out there with my teenagers. It is really important because age, it starts to accelerate, like the effects of not taking care of your body.
Yes.
Accelerate really fast. It's shocking. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Yes. There's a lot of truth to that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so did I grow up in a household that was healthy? I grew up in a household that I was very fortunate. And this was normal at this time, Margaret. This is normal. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was normal to eat meals at home every night.
Mm-hmm.
We were broke as a joke. And so the only 2 restaurants that were in town was McDonald's and Dairy Queen. We never went to any of those.
Yeah.
We always ate meals at home. My mom cooked really good food. I'm trying to think if there was a lot of vegetables. There wasn't a whole lot of vegetables. That came later on my own. Mm-hmm. And then as my education grew and my knowledge grew, I started really honing in on more protein, more minerals, more vegetables, more fiber. And so now I am teaching my mom at the tables of turf. And now I'm teaching my mom. And it's a little bit harder for them to be receptive to that.
Yes.
It's okay. And so now I lead by example. And I don't say anything. I just lead by example. I have found that that's the best way because family is really hard. They don't want to listen.
Yes. Even so as a mom, leading by example is huge too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just show them. You don't have to tell them. Just show them how it's done. They see mom going to the gym every day. They see you working out, lifting your weights. They see that it's important. They see that you're eating your healthy meals. It matters.
Yeah.
It matters as a mom. Your kids are watching. And I'm so grateful that all 4 of my kids are still exercising and taking good care of themselves.
Oh, that's awesome.
Score, because I would take them to the gym with me. I would take them swimming with me. I would teach them how to do Olympic lifting, teaching them how to lift the weights correctly.
Yes.
It's just, that's what brings me joy, is seeing my kids still be active and healthy.
I love that. Yeah. I will admit I had COVID last week and I haven't been back in my home gym in about a week and a half. And I just still don't feel fully back to it. But I also know that the longer I delay getting out there, even if it's just 10-pound dumbbells of just like, okay, we're just going to go through 30 minutes, even if it's super modified, I don't know if you're like this, but the longer the break I take, the harder it is to get back into the routine.
Yes.
And that's coming from someone that's been consistently lifting since my 20s. I mean, I actually love weightlifting.
Yeah.
But I do have these seasons sometimes where I'm just like, ugh.
And you know what, Margaret?
You know?
We're so hard on ourselves too, that sometimes our body, like after having COVID.
Yeah, I know.
We need a little bit of a break.
Yeah,
and
probably.
Going on a walk is good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough because, and this is my philosophy about exercise and taking care of yourself. You're not just doing it for 3 months. This is the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Take your time. Do it right. There's no rush. If you need to take a week off, take a week off.
Yeah.
And come back. It's okay to give ourselves a break.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Being gentle with ourselves. Being gentle. Yeah. So COVID sucks.
Oh, COVID sucks. Yeah. I'm still dealing with like the post-respiratory stuff. So Do you follow your own weight training program or do you work with a trainer?
I have a trainer who programs all my workouts.
Awesome.
He has been doing this for me for, I think it's going on eight years. He's
programmed. Wow.
Yeah. And he puts it into an app.
That's amazing.
It's called True Coach.
Okay.
And he plugs it in there. And then I just follow that. And I told him what my goals are. And my goals are, it's always been to get strong,
uh-huh,
build muscle, and stay mobile. And when my kids call, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, it's fun that we're talking about this because we're both weightlifters and strength chicks. But I have been overtraining and didn't even realize it.
Really? Tell me more.
I was weightlifting every single day, five days a week. And then I was doing conditioning right after for about 5 to 10 minutes after every session. So, you know, I could get everything done in about an hour and 15 minutes. And then I realized, I think I might be overdoing it.
How did you realize that?
I listened to Mind Pump.
Oh, I've listened to that podcast. Yes.
I am telling you, Margaret, anyone out there who wants really solid exercise, nutrition information from experts that know what they're talking about, mm-hmm, listen to Mind Pump. I listened to them and went, oh, I've been wanting to build muscle and I'm overdoing it. I thought the more, the better, but actually less.
Yes, less is more.
And so what I'm doing is I'm giving my body a break in between. So I'll do strength training Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'll do quick little HIIT sessions on the days in between.
Okay. That's it.
I walk my dog every day. So I've got the walking down, but I've noticed I've gotten stronger. My numbers have gone up. I can tell in my body that my body is changing because less was more. And so
yes,
if anyone's like confused out there, check out Mind Pump Media. They're amazing.
Okay. Good to know.
Keep listening to them because they're the ones that gave me permission to slow down.
Yeah. I left about 3 days.
Let your body
recover. Yep.
Yeah.
I do 3 days a week, most weeks. Sometimes I'll do four.
Yep.
Depends on where I'm at with my cycle. But yeah, I do 3 days and then I've been getting into Pilates lately.
Good.
Yeah, that's been really fun. So I've been doing either bar three or...
It forces Miss Margaret to slow down a little bit.
So true. I need it. I know. My sister's been trying to get me to go back to yoga. There's a new yoga studio that just opened nearby. So I'm like, maybe I'll incorporate some yoga just for the stretching. Mm-hmm. I need the stretching.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Especially as we're building those big muscles. Or trying anyway, trying.
Right. My goals are more similar to yours. It's mobility. I want to be able to hike. I want to be able to get up on a wakeboard on Lake Tahoe in the summers. Yes. That's something we love to do. Yeah. It's not really aesthetic for me at this point in the game anymore at all. I don't even really weigh myself that much.
Yes.
I'm
Margaret,
just kind of like.
It's so freeing.
Yes.
Not counting calories. Not looking at the scale, just going by how you feel. You get to that point.
Or being able to help my husband carry things. So we ordered a cold plunge a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I saw that.
And they dropped it in the driveway on a pallet and it's a couple hundred pounds. It's like 350 pounds, this tub. And my husband came home from work and he's like, I think I'm going to have to call one of our friends to help. And I was like, I'm helping you carry this. Let's do it. And there's like handles underneath the tub to help pick it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put on my shoes and like got down into like deadlift position and stood up with him. And the two of us carried this huge tub into our sunroom. And my daughter's watching. She's like, Mom, you're going to drop this. I'm like, you watch me. I'm going to get this thing in. And that, like that moment right there, I was like, that is functional fitness at its finest to me, of being able to be like, yeah, I can help you lift this couch.
That's right.
Or, you know, yeah, unload a bunch of suitcases into the car or whatever. It's more about that to me than anything at this point.
That's right.
Step off a curb and not worry about rolling my ankle.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's not sexy, right?
No.
It's not sexy. It doesn't get views. It doesn't get followers, but it gives you confidence in your future and your well-being and longevity is focusing on those things. I just think that's so amazing. I know you've always inspired me when I see your workouts on Instagram. I'm like, oh, I just want to work out with Margaret.
Someday we're going to do it. I'll come out to Idaho.
I'll bring you to the gym. We'll do some fun things, but it's exciting to see other women getting stronger. They're not afraid of weights anymore.
Yeah.
They're coming to the gyms and lifting. And I love to see that even here in our own gym, just more women.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. I love it.
Lifting couches, lifting cold plunges.
I know. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where can people find you? Do you have any resources or guides or anything like that that I can share with our people?
Yes, you guys can find me on Instagram under LW Skincare. That's where we hang out the most, is on Instagram. And if anyone is interested in more helpful information, they can go to my website, LW Skincare, and you can click on a free downloadable that is a checklist of 10 things that you can do right now to help clear your skin.
Oh, I love that.
They're going to love it. There's a lot of value in that. So I hope that they'll download that.
Okay.
Read it, follow it.
I'll link that in the show notes. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Fueled and Free podcast. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Learn more at margaretannpowell.com and follow me on Instagram at margaretannpowell.